This paper has been slightly modified to optimize your listening experience. While we have included a brief description of the figures and tables, all references, citations, parentheses, appendices, footnotes and endnotes have been removed. To obtain these tables, figures, quotes, appendices, full references and citations for this paper, please view the HTML or PDF version at the iRodul website, www.irodul.org. The copyright for this article belongs to the authors and is openly released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License. International Review of Research in Open and Distributed Learning, Volume 20, Number 3, July 2019. The title of this article is Understanding the Early Adjustment Experiences of Undergraduate Distance Education Students in South Africa. The authors of this article are Drive Jenna Mittelmeyer of the University of Manchester, Dr. Jekaterina Rogatin of the Open University, Dr. Diane Long of the University of Witwatersrand, Dr. Mwasvita Dalu, Prof. Ashley Gunter, and Prof. Paul Prinsloo of the University of South Africa, and Prof. Bart Reintjes of the Open University. Abstract. Much research in face-to-face contexts outlines the importance of early adjustment on students' higher education experiences. However, few studies have replicated this research in distance learning contexts to unpack the early multifaceted adjustments associated with studying in absence of a physical campus. This is particularly needed from a global South perspective, where countries like South Africa have become regional hubs for distance learners. To explore distance learners' adjustment experiences, this study analyzed results from a student adaptation to college questionnaire with 320 distance learners at the University of South Africa, mixed with qualitative thematic analysis of open-ended questions. The results outlined key factors that impact distance learning experiences for students in South Africa, including demographic variables, class, language, and access to resources. These findings, compared with similar work in face-to-face contexts, suggest areas in need of additional support from distance education providers in South Africa and beyond. Keywords: distance education, higher education, student adjustment, South Africa, introduction, early experiences in higher education, such as during the first year of study or in the first course units, are particularly influential on students' success and attrition. While research on this topic tends to focus on face-to-face contexts, there has been increasing interest in early experiences in distance learning. This emergent body of research is particularly valuable, since notions of what the label first year means for flexible distance programs may vary from typical face-to-face contexts. However, empirical findings on this phenomenon are scarce, particularly from a global South perspective, where distance learning is gaining popularity. As such, an understanding of students' early adjustment experiences in distance learning contexts, defined as students' ability to cope with the multifaceted changes and stressors in their lives as a result of higher education study, can provide particularly useful insights into support mechanisms necessary for success. To address this, we focused on the adjustment experiences of distance learners in a first-year course unit at the University of South Africa, which is one of the largest distance education providers in the world. Within the broader context of South African public higher education, success and retention are major concerns, particularly at UNISA with its large student numbers. While research into early student experiences is well established in the South African higher education context generally, the specific context of distance education is still an emerging focus. As such, this study explored the factors impacting students' distance learning adjustment experiences through a mixed methods questionnaire of 320 students at UNISA, providing a clearer understanding of distance learners' first-year experiences. Literature overview. Adjustment experiences in distance education. A wide variety of literature from around the world outlines that adjustment to the multifaceted transitions associated with higher education study impact student success. The early models of Spatti, Tinto, and others attempted to map not only the role of variables that may impact students' decisions to continue with their studies or to drop out, but also how these variables intersect, and whether they are interdependent or mutually constitutive. Indeed, research on success and retention in higher education, and more specifically distance education, includes a range of approaches and perspectives. Of specific interest to those researching students' early experiences in distance education is the notion that it is possible to cluster the various factors that impact success at three related levels: individual, institutional, and supra institutional. It is, therefore, crucial to remember that students' experiences will be impacted at all three levels. For example, some of the published research on South African distance education outlines issues such as access to materials and resources, developing social connections among students from different geographical contexts, and synchronous versus asynchronous activity offerings. However, there are relatively few studies that have replicated research specifically into student adjustment in distance learning contexts, which arises in combination or as a result of these factors. In the research on student adjustment, it is evident that the first year of study is particularly influential, as outlined by early research in face-to-face settings. In the South African higher education context, the experiences of first-year students have gained considerable traction. For example, McGee described factors impacting students' experiences, including preparation for university coursework, workload, overcrowded timetables, and having the necessary social and academic capital to develop personal strategies to overcome these challenges. Similarly, Lakina and Bayaga noted that over 50% of students, typically those from low-income or deprived circumstances, drop out due to financial struggles to carry the direct and indirect costs of university attendance. Other factors influencing the first-year experience in South Africa include family and support structures, tutors, support services, and higher-order thinking skills. Yet to the best of our knowledge, outside of the research of McKay that focuses on the role of tutors in first-year experiences in distance education, there is no systematic research on students' early experiences in South African distance education. This represents a major gap in current knowledge, considering the high level of distance education enrollment and unique social and political contexts in South Africa. These considerations are highlighted next. The South African and UNISA contexts. South African public higher education faces many of the obstacles seen elsewhere, including massification, funding regime changes, and changing student profiles. However, also present is the impact of intergenerational legacies of colonialism and apartheid on public higher education, which has had profound implications for access to higher education as well as the resources required to study successfully. In this sense, South African higher education is sandwiched between systemic contextual problems inherited from past educational policies and a generation of limitless possibilities. It would, therefore, be disingenuous to consider the students' experience at one particular distance education provider in South Africa without considering that we are condemned to context. Distance education functions as a substantial subsystem in South African higher education, contributing up to 40% of higher education students. Until 2013, UNISA was the only higher education institution in South Africa licensed to offer distance education and, in response, it grew into a mega university with almost 360,000 students. While there are 23 public universities in South Africa, UNISA hosts almost 300,000 more students than any other South African institution. Despite this large student cohort, the institution only graduates approximately 30,000 students a year, which suggests that many students experience challenges. In light of this, the specific academic, social, and emotional experiences of students at UNISA are of concern. In particular, research is needed to unpack why some students in South African distance education succeed while others struggle. Conceptual framework. Literature around the world has focused on how transitions throughout the higher education experience impact student success. Seminal to this discussion is the work of Tinto, who argued that higher education students' academic and social adjustments could explain differences in degree outcomes. Baker and Sirik built upon this work by suggesting that, in addition to academic and social adjustment, emotional adjustment and attachment to the university also play important roles. The four categories comprising this framework, measured by their student adaptation to college questionnaire, are outlined in Table 1. Although developed for face-to-face contexts, this conceptual framework links with previously established models for online learning, such as the Community of Inquiry framework, where key components of online learning include social, cognitive, and teaching presence. Table 1. Defined categories of student adjustment. Internationally, much work identifies that these four adjustment categories can predict academic performance and retention, as highlighted by a recent meta-analysis of 237 studies and 44,668 students from around the world. Specific to South Africa, Peterson, Lau, Dumont, and Malope used this model to evaluate the experiences of disadvantaged students, and found links between adjustment and performance. Zomer and Dumont also found that adjustment experiences could be explained by factors such as perceived stress or work overload. Similarly, Sennett, Finchulescu, Gibson, and Strauss considered the impact of demographic variables, such as race and gender, on adjustment experiences in South Africa and found that Black African students had lower levels of social and emotional adjustment. More recently, Papagiorgiou and Callahan outlined that South African students' personality traits can influence their degree of academic adjustment. Altogether, these findings highlight adjustment as a key consideration for higher education students, with a broad range of demographic and institutional factors impacting their experiences. However, much of this research was undertaken in face-to-face contexts and, to the best of our knowledge, no studies have replicated these findings with distance learners to understand how their experiences might differ. In particular, more work is needed from the Global South perspective, whereby students may have different experiences of agency, capital, and self-efficacy. Therefore, this study aimed to bring together these various strands of research to address the following research questions. What are the adjustment experiences of distance learners in South African higher education? What factors impact the adjustment experiences of distance learners in South African higher education? Methods, setting and procedure. This research took place at UNISA in a first-year level course unit with undergraduate students studying for a Bachelor of Science degree in Mathematics and Programming in the College of Science, Engineering and Technology. This was a purposeful sample, as the academics teaching the selected courses volunteered to participate in a wider study as part of the International Distance Education and African Students Project. The data that supports the findings of this study will be available via UK Data Reshare once the project is finished. UNISA's modules are taught using a blended distance model, with digitally supported materials and printed materials available for the many students with limited internet access. All courses in the sample had an online presence in the learning management system, but online engagement was not required. Students were required to buy textbooks for self-study, while additional exercises or materials were hosted online. Pastoral support services were offered at the university by telephone, email, or face-to-face by non-compulsory tutorial support programs at a range of regional centers. In terms of social connections among students, online tools such as an online forum and social media are frequently used to develop a student community. All programs and examinations in this faculty are taught in English, although only a small percentage of students are native speakers. This means there are likely a range of competencies with English language across individual students. Although there is no systematic data collection on this at the university, participants, all students in the selected program were contacted via their university email address with a link to the online survey. Altogether, 320 students participated, which is a reasonable response rate of 11.77%. The majority were male, which is in line with demographics in the program. In terms of citizenship, 270 were South African and 36 were international students from 16 countries across Africa. Most students were Black African, while 48 were white, 17 were Indian or Asian, 12 were colored, and 5 declined to disclose their race. The majority of participants were non-native English speakers. Only 24% of students in this study were full-time students, which is common in flexible distance learning contexts. Many participants had additional commitments beyond studying, including full-time or part-time work. Altogether, the sample is a reasonable representation of the student population in this program. Materials. This research incorporated a mixed methods methodology using a questionnaire that included both quantitative and qualitative questions. As outlined in our conceptual framework section and by Baker and Sirik, this study aimed to understand students' adjustments to the multifaceted transitions associated with studying at a distance from a South African institution. To measure these experiences and address research question 1, the Student Adaptation to College questionnaire was employed. SACQ measures students' experiences across 4 subscales, based on the categories defined in Table 1. The SACQ questionnaire has been previously used successfully in the South African higher education context. However, as UNISA students study at a distance and often have limited internet access, we aimed to shorten the original instrument to ensure that it was fit for purpose in this context and to avoid questionnaire fatigue. Building on an extensive validation process of 1,200 responses of students from 9 universities in the Netherlands, we selected the items with highest factor loadings from this previous work that were relevant for distance learning contexts, thereby reducing the questionnaire from 69 to 35 items. For more information about the scale and the validity and reliability of its shortened version, please see Rientjes et al. Participants were asked to rate their agreement on a 1 to 9 Likert scale. As this faculty teaches all course units and conducts all examinations in English, we also opted to conduct this study in English as it was the common university language that was most familiar to participants. To assess the validity and appropriateness of the instrument in the South African distance learning context, the full instrument was piloted with 16 UNISA students using a Think Aloud protocol, which indicated that questions were clear and relevant to students' experiences. Cronbach alphas of each scale also indicated good internal reliability. Additionally, the questionnaire was analyzed using factor analysis, which indicated good fit for the four constructs. As research question 2 focused on factors that impact distance learning experiences in South Africa, questions related to students' backgrounds and demographics were included. These included questions about gender, race, country of citizenship, access to resources required for study, language, and employment status. Additionally, participants were asked 2 open-ended questions, which provided a more in-depth qualitative perspective. Is there anything that has positively influenced your UNISA experience and is there anything that has negatively affected your UNISA experience? Data analysis. For quantitative data, normality was assessed by a visual review of normal distribution curves and analysis of skewness kurtosis, to which all data was within the acceptable limits of plus or minus 2.00. Interpretation was aided by coding categorical variables as dummy binary values. This allowed us to compare experiences of students from different backgrounds. For example, South African students compared to non-South African students. To compare SACQ scale scores with participants' demographic variables, bivariate analysis using Pearson's R was conducted. Regression analyses were additionally calculated with each SACQ scale as the dependent variable and participants' background characteristics as independent variables. For qualitative open-ended responses, thematic analysis was conducted using the six-step protocol suggested by Brown and Clark. Altogether, 19 themes were identified by the researchers, which were clustered around the four SACQ scales to aid interpretation. Given that a large research team was involved in the qualitative analysis, steps were taken to compare our understandings of the codes and themes. First, after the codes were initially developed, a second member of the research team individually coded 50 responses to the questionnaire. Cohen's Kappa was used to assess inter-ator reliability, which indicated good agreement. Afterwards, the two researchers compared perspectives and made revisions to the codes. Next, a third member of the research team analyzed a different selection of 50 responses using the revised codes. Cohen's Kappa again indicated good agreement, which was confirmed through in-depth group discussions. As a lens for our thematic qualitative analysis, we used a K-means cluster analysis to group participants based on their SACQ scores, as conducted in previous work by the authors. Cluster analysis is a method for sorting data into groups based on similar traits. In our case, SACQ scores. K-means cluster analysis was deemed appropriate for grouping participants based on their SACQ scores because the variables were numerical and on an interval scale. ANOVA F-value scores were compared as a proxy for cluster analysis, which determined that four clusters were the best fit for the data, as described in Table 2. Altogether, this approach allowed us to explore different types of student experiences across the qualitative data and to compare factors that may have impacted their adjustment. Table 2. Clustering of students using K-means cluster analysis. Results. Quantitative results. Average SACQ scores. In terms of research question 1, Table 3 shows average scores for each SACQ scale, indicating that students felt generally positive about their distance learning experience. The lowest average scores were in relation to social and emotional adjustment, which is logical considering the absence of a physical campus community for distance learners. On average, participants also demonstrated a high level of attachment towards the university. Table 3. Average SACQ scale scores. However, there was strong variation among students, as evidenced by the large standard deviations for each scale. An example of this wide variation is depicted graphically in Figure 1. which suggests there are additional factors impacting students' reflections on their distance learning experiences. Figure 1. Scatterplot of SACQ academic and social adjustment scores. Correlation between SACQ scores and demographic variables. Bivariate analysis between the individual SACQ scores and various background and demographic variables was conducted using Pearson's R, which is highlighted in Table 4. The strong correlations between the four SACQ scales highlighted that adjustment is multifaceted and often interlinked. This analysis also indicated relationships between demographic variables and the adjustment scales. For example, there was a negative correlation between gender and emotional adjustment, with women less likely to reflect positively on their emotional adjustment experiences. A relationship between race and adjustment was also found, with Black African students more likely to reflect positively on their social adjustment and attachment to the university compared to students from other racial groups. As well, there was a weak and negative correlation between language and all four adjustment categories, meaning those who spoke English as their first language were more likely to reflect negatively on their university experiences. In addition to demographic variables, access to resources was highlighted in Table 4 as an important factor in adjustment experiences, particularly in the area of academic and social adjustment. Positive correlations were found between academic adjustment and access to resources. Therefore, while distance learning had a moderating effect for issues such as race and language, class issues may still permeate the extent to which students feel academically adjusted to the demands of study. At the same time, there was a negative correlation between social adjustment and access to resources, meaning those with access to resources required for distance study reflected more negatively on their social experiences in distance learning. One reason for this could be that students without access to technologies were more likely to access computer laboratories in regional centers, thereby feeling more connected with the physical university community. Therefore, questions remain about what steps can be taken to socially integrate students who primarily work at home and away from a physical campus. Table 4. Bivariate analysis of SACQ scores and demographic variables. Regression analysis. These findings were further unpacked using regression analyses with the SACQ scales as dependent variables and demographic information as independent variables, as outlined in Table 5. These findings, again, highlighted that there are demographic influences in the ways in which students reflect upon their distance learning experiences. In particular, significant factors in the regression analyses included language, race, and gender. Table 5. Regression analyses of SACQ scales and demographic variables. In line with previous work using the SACQ in South Africa, demographic variables could explain only a relatively small percentage of variation among participants. This means that other experiences have interlinked or parallel influences on students' adjustment experiences. To illuminate this for research question 2, the next section summarizes themes from the survey's open-ended questions to provide a richer qualitative understanding of the quantitative findings. Qualitative results. Flexibility of distance learning. Considering the high percentage of part-time learners and those with full or part-time work commitments, many participants across the four clusters positively reflected on how the flexibility of distance learning allowed them to incorporate education into their existing lives and commitments, indicating a relatively universal perspective. Studying at UNICEF for education gives me enough time, as I'm currently working as a teacher. The time I'm given for my assignments is also reasonable. They gave us many chances to do our work, so any challenges in my life won't cause me to miss most of my activities. For some students, this flexibility was key to accessing higher education and developing social mobility. Such comments were particularly prevalent from students in Cluster 4. Overall, this indicated that, despite perceived adjustment difficulties, appreciation of the distance learning format supports students' overall attachment to the university. UNISA gives us the opportunity to study part-time and gives us access to education. The model is a good model that allows for greater access to education. I've managed to make a living while I'm studying at UNISA. It's a well-recognized institution. I found my previous job due to the fact that I was studying with UNISA. Since I am from a disadvantaged family, I found it easy to believe that I could still reach my goal. In our quantitative findings, most students demonstrated relatively high attachment to the university, despite academic, social, and emotional adjustment hurdles. These qualitative responses shed light on this phenomenon, outlining the role of distance learning in providing an alternative route to higher education. Independent studying and learning. Participants noted that distance learning required a high level of independent studying and self-sufficiency. On the one hand, some participants noted that studying independently helped them gain new skills and insights, such as time management, self-reliance, and independence. This was particularly prevalent for Cluster 1 students, demonstrating more positive reflection from those with better adjustment experiences. My time managed, sick, skill has improved. Also with the commitment towards my studies, it has surely taught me to commit also to other things than my studies. On the other hand, other students frequently cited frustrations with learning independently, including difficulties understanding tasks on their own or lack of timely feedback. This was more frequently demonstrated by those with lower adjustment scales, such as Cluster 2. I struggle to motivate myself to work. When I have trouble with something, it's difficult to get in contact with someone who can help me. Therefore, one reason for the variation among clusters could be coping mechanisms related to students' comfort and competence with self-study in absence of a physical classroom. Access to resources and technology. In our quantitative findings, access to resources required for study was linked to positive academic adjustment. This was also frequently discussed by participants in the qualitative open-ended comments. In particular, many participants noted issues with receiving or accessing course materials. This was especially prevalent among students across the four clusters who were living in rural communities or outside South Africa, which helps clarify some of the underlying issues that affect students' access to resources. Not having my study material on time, I ended up not submitting my semester 1 assignments and also requesting a book from the library, not knowing it'll take weeks before being delivered and by that time I no longer needed. In some cases, lack of access to materials was cited as a major disruption in students' learning or ability to continue with the course. These findings were more frequent for those with lower overall SACQ scores, indicating access to materials played an important role in the adjustment challenges experienced by some students. I had to cancel drawing because I couldn't get the textbook and paying for school myself is a lot to lose. Sick. 2,500, which I have to pay again next semester. I have find it difficult to do some of my assignments due to the limited textbooks. I have failed to submit my assignment because only the book late and I am not going to write exam for one of my subjects due to shortage of books. Participants in these clusters also explained that their adjustment experiences were impacted by access to resources. Studying online was very difficult for me because most of the time I don't get access to internet, because UNISA labs are always full and I'm not using a smartphone. Altogether, these findings highlight inequalities in access to materials required for study, which has, in turn, impacted students' adjustment experiences in distance learning. Physical distance. Although UNISA does operate regional centers and occasionally holds optional in-person tutorials or practical sessions, it was frequently noted that not all participants had the ability to travel to or attend these sessions. This was particularly the case for those across the four clusters who live in rural areas or at a long distance from centers, and those with work or family commitments. Ability to pay for transportation to regional centers was also frequently noted as a concern. I cannot attend tutorial because they start late and I'm staying far from the campus. I did not attend my practical at Florida campus because I can't afford the transport and accommodation that side. This physical distance also had implications for whether students felt socially connected with other students. Perhaps one explanation for variations in social adjustment scores, therefore, could be varying levels of physical isolation from university environments. After all, this was particularly prevalent for those in clusters with relatively low social adjustment. I would say that it is hard to build relationships with other students if you are not close to any regional office. I wish there was an easier way. The fact that we are not given a class list with students' details or perhaps something like an online class influences one's morale and confidence in the subject. While access to physical buildings was not a prerequisite for distance learners, students in low SACQ score clusters often noted frustration with communicating with the university or their lecturers. Some subjects and lecturers are excellent, a lot of communication, and nearly no support needed due to just communicating. Others you go through an entire semester with unanswered questions and unclarity. Sick. Altogether, these findings outline the physical isolation of distance education as a common source of frustration for some students, which impacted their adjustment experiences. Fees and funding. The open-ended comments revealed that tuition fees were a common source of stress and frustration for participants. In particular, participants noted burdens of self-funding and paying for fees not covered by the National Student Financial Aid Scheme. These concerns were prevalent across all four clusters of SACQ scores. Financial support makes me lose my courage because even though I am about to complete my degree, but I sometimes feel threatened by financial aid. NSFAS did not pay for all my tuition fee, and since I do not have parents, no one can buy for me, and I'm even struggling for money to come to school. For international students, there were additional stressors related to paying for courses from abroad. For example, the only worry now is the method of payment. I know the favorite method is through credit card, but this is not working in Uganda where I come from yet. Altogether, financial stressors appeared prevalent for many students across all adjustment categories. This links with our suggestion in the quantitative findings that class may play an important role in the ways in which students feel adjusted to distance learning. Discussion. The rise in popularity of distance education in South Africa, combined with the comparative lack of research into distance students' adjustment experiences, highlights a critical gap in current knowledge. This present study aimed to address this by examining students' adjustment experiences at UNISA, one of the largest distance education providers in the world. In doing so, the study explored contributing demographic variables affecting students' adjustment, and factors that positively and negatively impacted their distance learning experience. Research question 1. Our cluster analysis of SACQ scores indicated there was a wide range of adjustment experiences, which could be divided into four categories. The results further suggested that all four categories of adjustment could be partially explained by demographic factors. However, the variation in adjustment among demographic groups had only low to medium effect sizes. This initially indicated that other factors outside of demographics more strongly influence students' experiences. The largest demographic contributors to differences in adjustment levels were language and race. In both instances, adjustment patterns were against the norm, with more traditionally marginalized populations demonstrating better adjustment. For instance, we found in our bivariate and regression analyses that students who were not native English speakers were better adjusted across the four categories we measured. This is interesting, considering less than 10% of the South African population are native English speakers, and native English speakers represent historically privileged groups. In the same analyses, race was one of the strongest predictors in our findings, particularly in regards to social adjustment and attachment to the university. Black African students in our study reported significantly better adjustment compared to students from other racial groups. This is in contrast to previous research in face-to-face contexts in South Africa, whereby Black African students were found to be less adjusted compared to white students. Together, perhaps these findings speak to the role that distance education plays in South Africa, operating as an alternative route to accessing higher education for historically marginalized or underprivileged groups. This is further supported by the overall strong attachment to the university across our four student clusters, including the sizable cluster 4, namely students with overall low adjustment but nevertheless strong attachment. In this way, it seems that despite the struggles associated with distance education and dissatisfaction with the experience, some students have a strong attachment to the university that is largely linked to their appreciation of increased access to higher education through distance learning. Therefore, additional research might further unpack this notion through an explicit investigation of the role and function of distance learning to the lives of students in Global South contexts. Research question 2. Our second research question considered other factors beyond demographics that impacted students' distance learning experiences. In this regard, all clusters of students reported in the qualitative open-ended questions that the main challenges they faced were in relation to fees and funding, along with timely access to resources required for study in line with work by Lakina and Bayaga. This, as also found in prior research, outlines the important role of class in students' distance learning experiences. For example, ability to pay university fees and have access to required study materials were the main points that distinguished students among the different SACQ clusters in our study. The most dissatisfied group of students, Cluster 2, who showed the lowest adjustment and attachment, struggled most with funding and access to resources, combined with difficulties related to independent studying and feelings of isolation. Altogether, these findings suggest that when designing modules, distance learning institutions, particularly those serving students in the Global South, should be mindful of the accessibility of resources, technologies, and activities. The results from the open-ended questions supported the notion that students' academic, social, and emotional adjustments were largely influenced by the positive and negative experiences they had during their initial period of studying at the university. This further demonstrates that the importance of early experiences outlined in face-to-face contexts similarly applies in distance settings. However, the wide range of adjustment experiences we discovered suggests students had varying levels of resilience, study skills, and coping mechanisms. These findings are in line with previous research by Zomer and Dumont, who found that adjustment experiences in face-to-face contexts could be explained by factors such as perceived stress or work overload. In this regard, our findings imply strong inequalities among groups of students in terms of physical isolation, social community development, and access to timely feedback. Thus, the challenges existing across different levels in distance learning seem to disproportionately affect students with fewer resources. As such, this study has prompted important questions for future research around distance education and privilege. Keeping in mind that access to higher education is as much about the ability to succeed as it is the ability to enroll. Limitations and conclusions. This study has provided a macro-level analysis of distance education students' experiences while studying through a South African institution and has highlighted suggested areas for future research. In doing so, several limitations are recognized. For one, this research utilizes self-report measurements, and we note that more research will be necessary in the future to unpack how these reflective experiences relate to measurable learning behaviors. We also recognize that students in our sample were studying in a STEM field and experiences may vary for students in other fields, which is a clear area for additional research. Finally, we recognize that the student population at UNISA is exceptionally diverse, including thousands of international students living across Africa and the world. And more research is needed to unpack the experiences of their particular situations. Nonetheless, this research has provided an important starting point for conversations around supporting distance learners' adjustment experiences and the role of distance learning in students' lives. In particular, we have outlined the important role of issues such as race and class in influencing South African distance students' adjustment experiences, an area in clear need of further research and conceptualization, both within and outside of South Africa. This is the end of the article. The full text of this article is available at the IRODL website, www.irodl.org. Goodbye.